Hi, and welcome back to another edition of the Baylor Area Sports Podcast. Today it's Joe Holloway and Brian Bateman. Nick Dean moved to the regular staff, so it's just us for right now.
Right.
But still sports to cover, so. Mm-hmm.
Definitely so. Starting off, and we're going to talk today about the Big 12 tournament, where the men and women both made it to the championship game. The women ended up winning. So that was a great day for Baylor fans. Or I guess 2 days there.
Good weekend.
Yeah, so I guess we can start. Let's start with the men, first of all. Came into the tournament. They had just played Nebraska, and they played Nebraska again, and people weren't really sure. They said, oh, well, what's going to happen here? But they ended up making a pretty good run. Knocked off Nebraska. Knocked off Kansas,
number one seed, Kansas.
Right, probably cost them a possible number one seed in the NCAA tournament. At least cost them a two, because they ended up being a three seed. Then they knocked off Texas before finally falling in the championship game to Missouri. So now I was there covering the games, but I want to hear just from Washington on TV, Joe. You saw the Texas game and
I was camping for the first two games, but yeah, the Texas game. Gosh, that was just exciting. First time I think they beat Texas since what, 98.
Yes,
1998. That was just exciting to watch. And then to be in the championship game against Mizzou, you know, it's great that they got there. Sure, they probably wish they could have won. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how it goes, I guess. Mizzou, there's really no stopping them. Carroll was a dominant force in that game from what I saw.
Yeah, Damari Carroll had 20 points, and just he was able to score from all over. He was hitting. I think he had five points in the free throw line. He had 10 points inside the lane. He had, you know, a couple of jump shots, and even hit a three. So you know, he was able to.
Even with that, I thought it was a good game. Still, it wasn't like one of Baylor's ugly games that they've had this year. But it was a good match until, you know, Barry and start fouling, and one team kind of pulls away if they make their. Free throw.
Right, yeah, Baylor actually jumped out to a lead there at the beginning for the first 5 minutes or so, and then Missouri started trapping on the, you know, they do the full court press and everything, but then they started trapping on the full court press, and that really slowed down Baylor. They weren't able to get the ball into Kevin Rogers and Josh Lomers and such, but
Kevin Rogers said he was tired.
Right, exactly, and I think that was a huge deal in that game, was the
fatigue
and just playing four games in 4 days. Yeah, I know I couldn't do it. It's supposed to be tough for them.
On television, they were saying that they ate something like a really huge amount of carbs before the game. Mm-hmm. And, like, the conditioning coach was having them drink for, like, a gallon of water every hour or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, they were really trying to get all that back in, all that fuel back in them. But I guess the biggest thing, we were saying fatigue was a major factor. And but one of the things that Drew did to combat that and to combat and to be able to keep Josh Lomers on the floor was a move to a zone, which we hadn't seen the entire year, except for maybe one or two plays down the stretch of some game. But they started playing a 2-3 zone, and Nebraska came out, and they weren't expecting it. And part of that was
for the longest time they couldn't do anything about it either.
Right, exactly.
They started getting some really good ball movement now. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Really good ball movement.
That's true. Josh Lomers did have a sprained ankle, and that was another reason why he went to the zone. Kept it through Kansas, and against Texas, that zone worked really well because Dexter Pittman only got 6 points out of the whole thing when he was leading. It was averaging 20-plus points per night. So they were able to keep the ball away from him, and A.J. Abrams wasn't able to hit the shots to knock him out of the zone, but Missouri did. Let's give credit to Missouri. They went through, and they hit 4 3-pointers in the first 5 minutes to knock Baylor out of the zone, and Baylor had to play man the whole time. But it was, you know, it was a great time for them, and now they're moving on to host, or I guess to have a event here. They're playing, or they're going to be playing in the NIT.
First time Baylor, the Farrell Center, has seen postseason play.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they will be hosting the Big 12, or not the Big 12,
Big East.
Big East.
Georgetown.
Right. Sorry, I went blank there for a second. So that should be a good matchup there. Number 3 seed Baylor in the NIT. They'll be playing here Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And if they do win,
we'll be on ESPN2.
Right. Yeah. If you
can't make
it
to the Farrell Center.
And we'll be blogging from there as well, so you can check our blog, and we'll be having a full coverage and everything. And if they do win, then they keep advancing. They would play the winner of Virginia Tech, Providence, or I'm sorry, Virginia Tech and Duquesne.
Duquesne, yeah.
So now, the way, for those of you who don't know, the NIT, how it works, the higher seed always hosts unless there's some sort of it's a little laid back. So,
example, if you want to see more Baylor basketball in the Farrell Center this year, you should become a Duquesne fan and hope that they beat the number 2 seed, Virginia Tech.
Right. And that means Baylor would host another round. The other thing that's interesting.
After that, you go to New York.
So. Right. The interesting thing about how they do this here is just in the NIT, they don't know exactly what date, so they're not all like in the NCAA. There's 2 sets. It's either on the Friday or the Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday. It's not. It's there's 4-day span that they can play the second round game. So we'll know next week when that's going to be, or later this week. But that's about it for the men. Great run. They were 1 game away from the Big 12 or from the NCAA tournament, but they just couldn't pull off against Missouri. So, but the women fared a little better. We want to talk about that, Joe, with them.
They looked a little shaky early on, but I think you're in the best. The Big 12 has the highest RPI of any of the women's conferences. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's to be expected, I guess, when you play such high-caliber teams day in and day out. And they looked a little shaky against OSU, I guess. They looked pretty good. They looked okay against Iowa State. Beat them again, second time this year. Mm-hmm. What did they do after that? And then it was just
A&M, wasn't it? Right, yeah. Against A&M, that was a tough-fought game. Surprising, Kim Mulkey used his zone.
Yeah, that was the first time I've seen her.
Yeah, I kept looking and said, is that really what I'm seeing? Kim Mulkey team with the zone? But yeah, she was saying that she thought
said the last time they did it was against LSU, I think that was in 2005. Right. It was the last time she said that.
Against Sylvia Fowles.
Yeah.
And them, yeah, because they had a big inside presence they're trying to get rid of. But yeah, that was a crazy game there against A&M. Gary Blair was talking about it and saying that really just threw him off their game. And Morgan Medlock ended up with 18 points in the She had 13 points in the first half, 18 total.
She came off the bench. And until she came off the bench and started scoring all those points, Baylor was struggling against it. Like, it was all Texas A&M until Morgan Medlock came off the bench and just – she would put up shots that would hit off from extreme angles. Mm-hmm. At least it seemed like on TV, and they would bank in somehow. It was all falling for her. So.
Right, and another person that I think deserves a lot of credit that you don't always see in the stat sheet is Melissa Jones. My goodness, I saw her down there in one play. She literally just ran up an A&M player. I think it was Micho. She had gotten the rebound, and Melissa Jones just comes up. Sticks her hands inside into her hands, and wasn't a foul because she grabbed the ball and she just ripped it out of her hands, and then went down the other side of the court. And
she's definitely their MVP off the bench this year.
Right, definitely that is just an amazing.
Jess Camaro got Big 12 tournament MVP. Mm-hmm. Jasmine Player had a big game against Texas A&M. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Medlock had the first half, and Jasmine Player had the second half. They're both the stars there. But, yeah, great fought game. The Lady Bears, they couldn't beat Oklahoma in the regular season, but they did end up winning the championship in the tournament in the postseason. So, I guess from this part, there are 2 questions come out regarding the Lady Bears. What seed do they deserve, and how far can they go? So, I guess we start with the first one. Joe, honest opinion, what do these Lady Bears do? Where should they be?
Maybe it's Coach Mulkey's, maybe it's hearing her every time I see her talk about it. But she has me convinced. I think they should be a number 1 seed. I think that they've won with and without Danielle Wilson. And that's really the only reason that, they lost that one to Kansas pretty bad. But that's really the only game in which, from the games that I've seen this year, they've looked bad in 2 games, and one of those was against Texas at home, and that was only, a 3-point difference or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they played bad that game and still almost won it. Mm-hmm. And then they played bad in the first game without Danielle Wilson. They just kind of, I guess, discombobulated there for a little bit on the road at Kansas. And but apart from those two games, really And they had that one loss to Wisconsin. I obviously didn't see that. That was
right
extremely early in the season.
And it was in a
in the islands.
Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice if the Laird had paid for.
Yeah, I could have said to go to the Paradise Jam. That would have been bad. But I would give them a number one. I might be brainwashed by Mulkey, but that's my take on it. In my opinion, the Big 12 is the best women's conference, and they've the last I saw on bracketology type stuff, people had like Duke and Maryland. They're both in the ACC, right? Well, I mean, if the ACC isn't as good as the Big 12, why have the 1 and 2 teams from the ACC and not the 1 and 2 teams from the best women's conference? I didn't.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what Mulkey had said in the press conference.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So.
Yeah. If the Big 12 is the number one RPI conference in the nation, why can't you have two number one teams?
And why would you, if you can't have two from the number one conference, why would you have two from the number two conference?
Exactly. Now, I personally wouldn't be too surprised if it'd be the number two. But anything less than a two, I mean, a three, I think that would be way too low.
I think they have a two on lock, and it's just a question if they're a two or a one. Mm-hmm. I guess the counter argument would be that maybe the reason that we've won, we beat A&M 3 times, but we couldn't beat Oklahoma, and they're a definite number one seed. And so maybe it looks more just like matchups, like we just match up against A&M better, and they can take care of Oklahoma, and we can't. But I don't know. We'll find out in a few hours.
Right, definitely. And that'll be a good thing to see there. Now, let's see. Lady Bears, regardless of what they get, if they want to win the whole thing, they got to beat everybody. So it doesn't matter if they get a two, if they get a one. Matter of fact, when they won the national championship, they were a two. And they actually beat 3 number 1 seeds. So that might work out in their favor.
If they're a two this year, you just got to hope they're not in UConn's bracket.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess the question now is, how far can the Lady Bears go?
I'm going to say it depends on what bracket they're in. If they're not in UConn's bracket as a number two, I think they could make it. I think they stand a good chance of beating the other number one seeds, except for maybe Oklahoma because of Courtney Paris, and they just don't have anybody that can really – who does have somebody that can make it, unless she gets into foul trouble or something, which is what she did against A&M. But They could make it to the title game. I don't see them beating UConn, but Right. Nobody has this year.
I always think that once you get to the Final Four, you really can't predict anything from that point on. You got to say that should be your goal, is the Final Four. And I think this team has an outside shot of the Final Four. But I'd say Sweet 16, would you say lock?
Sweet 16, they should make it to the Sweet 16.
They should, yeah, unless they get some horrible matchup.
And, you know, if, you know, Danielle Wilson's knee miraculously heals, no.
You never know, yeah. And that could play a huge role coming in. I mean, Mulkey said that when she was at Louisiana Tech, that one of her players had a ACL tear and actually played in the title game on it. And I think they won. I'm not sure, but
she said that she got them to the Final Four, I think.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
I think they lost after that. But still, playing that far on one leg.
Okay. So
pretty impressive.
I guess let's just go on record right now. Let's call it. Lady Bears, what round are they gonna make?
I'm gonna keep the faith and say don't stop believing, go in the Final Four, baby.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna be a little more pessimistic and say Elite Eight.
Okay.
Because I just have this sudden feeling that they're a realist, and I have a feeling that we're really going to pair with Oklahoma. Well, we probably won't get paired with Oklahoma, but with probably UConn, and that might be.
That would be unfortunate.
That would be unfortunate.
But, yeah, they still might get the number one.
They could, and that would be.
Who knows?
That would be great. But, well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to check back next week when we talk a little bit more about baseball and some other sports, which I've had an interesting couple of weeks, so. Check back next week, and don't forget to keep reading the Lariat.